Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So the New York State Senate, as you just heard from Richard, is considering the role of parents in public schools. What do you think that role should be? Post to our Brian Lehrer Facebook page or to our show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We will put some of your answers on the air and ask several guests today, including our lead guest, New York City Comptroller William Thompson. He is the likely Democratic mayoral candidate to challenge Mayor Bloomberg this year. The big news for Thompson this month, he got the endorsement of the Progressive Working Families Party. They had remained neutral in 2005 between Bloomberg and Fernando Ferrer. Not so good news. Mr. Thompson has raised about $4 million. Mayor Bloomberg spent about $38 million just in the campaign so far. But Comptroller Thompson, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. And let's jump right in on our question of the day. Mayoral control of schools, as you know, is still stuck in Albany, even though the Senate is back at work. Do you support the Senate's version of mayoral control, which would give more power to parents?
Well, I don't exactly know what the Senate's version is. I know that they have talked about a parent institute and the need for greater mayoral control.
Parental input?
I'm sorry. Greater parental involvement, excuse me. And I would agree that that is definitely needed. I think that, you know, the assembly version covers a bit of that. And I know that, Senate Democrats are talking about adding to it. I think that parents have been shut out of the public school system for the last 7-8 years. And, you know, I think that everyone is concerned that they have a voice moving forward. And I think that's what the Senate's trying to do. Do I agree with it? Yes or no? I haven't seen the specifics of it, so I really don't know.
So do you agree or disagree with this statement by Mayor Bloomberg from last week?
I want the teachers and the principals to run the schools, not the parents.
You agree with that?
You know, there's a question of running the schools and a question of involvement. I think to have a school environment that works and works well, you need principals, teachers, and parents who are involved in collaborative ways. And I think that, you know, I don't think anybody wants to see parents running the schools, but they want to have a voice and you want to have parents have involvement. And I think that's the point that the mayor misses, is that parents should have a voice, and for the last 7 years, they have not. So I think that's what the Senate and Assembly are trying to do, is to provide parents with a voice in the school system.
You say you haven't seen the bill. How about this provision? The Senate bill, as I understand it, would provide 32 employees whose job is to train parents to be advocates for their children at school. Is that money well spent?
I don't know what that means at this point, and I'm serious about that. I don't know how they're going to be allocated. You know that each school has a person who's supposed to relate to parents right now in the system. And in fact, all too often, those individuals in the schools wind up, you know, being the person who's just kind of keeping parents away from the principals. You need real parent involvement. There are a number of vehicles, from local school-based teams to district councils, that have been ignored for the last 7 years. And I think that's one of the problems also. And last but not least, if a parent doesn't get satisfaction in a school, if there's an issue that can't be resolved, there's no place for a parent to go. And I think that's wrong.
Which would be better spent? Money to help parents be advocates or money to help parents help their kids with homework?
Well, as I said, it would be better to have both. Parents having and working with parents so that they can help their students. Some parents are going to be able to do that. Some aren't. I'm not sure that, you know, that the school themselves couldn't work along with parents to help teach them to be better, to help their students and their children with their homework and with their schoolwork. Some parents are going to be able to do that. Some aren't. So I just think that what you are missing right now is a parent voice in the school system. Parents have been shut out. And I think it's been frustrating to them over the years. I've had conversations with a number of parent groups over the last 7 years because they felt locked out.
And listeners, we'll take your calls on this later in the program. For now, post to our comments page or post to our Facebook page on the question, what do you think the role of parents should be in a school? And you can get as specific as to say, should the state spend money to provide 32 employees in New York City whose job is to train parents to be advocates for their children at school. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or go to the Brian Lehrer Facebook page. And Controller Thompson, before we move on to some other issues, just one other thing on education. You were president of the Board of Education under the old system during part of the 90s. When was more progress made in educating New York's kids, when you were president or under Mayor Bloomberg?
You know, it's during comparable periods of time, you've seen gains on both sides. I had the opportunity to work with some very good chancellors, Rudy Krupp particularly, and then Harold Levy. And Ray Cortinas even before that, who showed real educational gains. It's hard to do an apples-to-apples comparison. I think if you looked at yesterday's newspapers, they talked about the passing scores over the last few years continue to be lowered on state exams. So you really can't do an apples-to-apples comparison. I do favor mayoral control and think it made sense. I was one who was proud that I helped to spearhead, when I was with the Board of Education as its president, a change from a decentralized system to a more centralized system. And this is the natural extension of that mayoral control. So I favor mayoral control. I'm sure that we'll be hearing a lot in the campaign about, you know, on both sides, about where educational gain was and wasn't. But I have to admit that it would be nice to have had the almost $20 billion that they have right now and mayoral control. I think things would have been very different then.
All right. Let's talk about the economy. As controller, you issued a major report this week which had some very bad news and some not so bad news. The very bad news was about the racial disparity on unemployment. What did you find?
Well, I think as you look to that unemployment had continued to rise across the city in the first quarter of this year compared to the first quarter of last year. We're up at about 9%. As far as an unemployment rate right now. But I think that the startling number was the disparity, as you saw, between white unemployment and then between Hispanic unemployment and finally African Americans. And, you know, the disparity there, if you look, unemployment as a whole rose about 72% between the first quarter of last year and this year, but unemployment in the African American community swelled by about 167%. If you look at the unemployment rate, it had gone from, in the African American community, from about 5.7%, you know, a year ago, to 14.7%. It was a staggering jump, and one that, you know, we're sitting there, and I'm, you know, obviously, you know, very concerned about, but you're also trying to figure out exactly why. As well as unemployment jumping in the Hispanic community a year ago from about 6% to 9% right now.
Why do you think?
You know, I think some of it is, are things like retail and a larger percentage perhaps of African Americans in retail as well as manufacturing. And those are some of the things that we think may have had an impact, and we've seen retail taking a heavy hit in New York City. Some of it we're just not sure. And you know, at this point, layoffs that the city has been pushing in some ways isn't factored into it. So we're just not sure. It is a major concern, and one of the reasons in highlighting it is so people can start to focus and try and come up with solutions for this.
Here's Mayor Bloomberg's reaction this week to that finding on the racial disparity in unemployment.
It is true when things turned around back in 2003 and 2004, black New Yorkers saw the largest increase in job rates. But the truth of the matter is, since they are often last in, and a lot of hiring and firing is done last in, first out, they are most vulnerable.
Do you have a reaction to his reaction?
You know, it's rather than, you know, go back to old stereotypical answers, I think that some of it is, you know, over the last 7 or 8 years, could have been a better job at diversifying the economy and pushing for more small businesses. I think some of this is, you know, the fact that New York City's job training programs are incredibly disjointed and not and really don't work well with each other. But rather than just, you know, come up with something that we would have heard 20 years ago, we should be looking at solutions right now.
You mean that was something that we would have heard 20 years ago? You think that was a shallow response?
I thought that was no response. and just to go back to the old, you know, stereotypical last hired, first fired, which we've heard for decades, I think it would be make a lot more sense for the mayor to focus on solutions and how, instead of, you know, just focusing on retraining these days for Wall Street, you know, for those who were laid off on Wall Street, which he's committed $45 million to, I think that you should look at what goes on around the rest of the city and start to make and make recommendations and start to move and take action to be able to deal with that rather than just fall back on decades-old excuses.
You also found a gender disparity. More than 70% of the new unemployed are men. Is that because the sectors getting hit are predominantly male ones like construction and Wall Street?
I don't know that that's just the reason, and construction truly has been hit, and you've seen a dramatic slowdown there. But Wall Street, there is, you know, perhaps at the top, you see more men than women, but I'm not sure across the street, across Wall Street, you see that much dramatically, you know, heavily male-oriented as opposed to females. I think women have been making real gains over on Wall Street. So I just think that, you know, this is one of the reasons in putting it out. You want to dig down. You want to understand why you're seeing these disparities in different places, and then what strategies can you come up with to deal with it in the future.
The not-so-bad news in your controller's report is that you say the city's economy thus far has performed better than expected during this downturn. How so?
Well, I think that as we look at, you know, the downturn, obviously we have seen the unemployment surge, but, you know, and the expectation that it would rise to probably 9.5% by next year. I think, though, that we're seeing unemployment had slowed a bit there and was a little better than anticipated. I just thought that, overall, I thought we saw some payroll tax withholding, good indicators there. I thought we saw some positive things that indicate that things wouldn't be as bad as possible.
And, of course, 9.5% is a bad unemployment number, and that doesn't even take into account those who have given up looking for work or those who consider themselves underemployed. But your stats have the city down about 108,000 payroll jobs since August. And if I remember correctly, during the recession of the early 90s, the city lost several hundred thousand, I think 300,000 jobs or more. You remember that, and then bounced back strong. So is this actually not as bad as the early 90s?
Well, we obviously haven't reached bottom yet, but I think all of us had believed that this wouldn't have been as bad as the times in the 90s. And you know, if anything, in speaking to audiences for the last 6 months, you point out that, you know, something, while the expectation is that you'll lose somewhere in the 200,000, range or a bit more, the hope is that it would have been better than some of the other recessions that we've seen.
New York City Comptroller William Thompson, my guest on WNYC. Let me ask you something about the employment status of your own staff. Mm-hmm. Mayor Bloomberg announced raises for his staff after they didn't get raises last year or for the last couple of years, I'm not sure. And then you dug in and said, no, that is not thrifty as we need to be in this economic climate. I'm not giving my raises to my staff. Is that how you want to treat your staff?
Well, I value my staff and have great respect for them, but I think my staff also understands that we're going through times of unprecedented fiscal challenge. If you looked at the raises that the mayor gave and a number of those raises and people jumping to $240,000 up from, say, $210,000 or $220,000, I thought that was ridiculous. I think that right now, you know, you have to look at your entire workforce. New York City and the mayor are laying people off. How do you lay people off in this ugly environment and at the same point provide raises to others, and particularly some very high-end raises? I thought that was outrageous. So what I did was I took, you know, a balanced approach. Those in my office who were making less than $90,000 got the raises. Those making more than $90,000, which are probably about half of those entitled to raises, didn't get raises. And those are just the managerial raises. Yes, everybody else who was part of a union and their contracts had been resolved got their raises as part of a union negotiation. But I think during these tough times, it is the wrong message to send that on one hand we're laying people off, people who are going to fall into the ranks of the unemployed, who are going to, we're going to wind up having to pay, you know, unemployment benefits and then other benefits eventually, who are going to face homelessness because of this. So, and at the same point, we're given raises, and particularly high-end raises.
So your unionized employees got their raises under the collective bargaining agreement. Your non-unionized workers, if they were making less than $90,000, they still did get raises. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. Did you support Mayor Bloomberg's half-point city sales tax hike, which Albany has now approved?
No, I opposed it. I thought that it was the wrong thing to do to the economy right now. I thought it would have made sense to increase taxes on those making $500,000 a year or more. Those making $500,000 a year to $1 million, you would have increased taxes by about 0.7%, and those making $1 million a year or more, 1%. That way, it wouldn't have worked against working and middle-class families who are going to have to pay that sales tax increase, as well as retail and small businesses right now who are struggling, who are going to be impacted by this sales tax increase.
So you think the upper-income New York City residents who've already gotten an additional tax at the state level could absorb another one at the city level?
1% or less, yes. And I would have sunset it. I wouldn't have done it, you know, forever, for a 3 or 4 year period of time until we're in better fiscal shape. But I thought that was fair.
Did you happen to see the cover of the New York Post today on the taxes on higher income people in the House of Representatives health care bill? They slammed it as a big tax on New York because we have a lot of high income risk takers here in the city.
Well, we also have a lot of middle income people and moderate and working people in New York City, and they've been taking big slams in everything from property taxes, rent increases, water rates, you name it. All these things continue to go up. Sales tax, increase in MTA fares. Middle class are taking a big hit, too, and there was a study done by the Drum Major Institute that pointed, I think, in 2006 or 2007, a huge number of middle-income New Yorkers were pushed out of New York City. So, you know, you're sympathetic to a number of things, but at the same point, you know, while everyone is always concerned about wealthier New Yorkers, what about middle-class New Yorkers? What about working New Yorkers? Where do we go and what happens to us?
Controller Bill Thompson for another few minutes here on WNYC, the likely Democratic mayoral candidate this year against Mayor Bloomberg. And I mentioned your endorsement by the Working Families Party, but they usually endorse Democratic Party candidates. What's the significance of this endorsement to you? What would you like it to mean for the voters?
Well, I think it sends a few messages. I think that first, and if you go back, no, Mayor Bloomberg was able to block Working Families endorsement for any candidate back in 2005.
So they didn't support the Democratic candidate Fernando Ferrer in that year?
No, they did not. And the mayor, and as people were openly talking about trying to seek the endorsement themselves, and they did. They were aggressive, some would say overly aggressive, in seeking the endorsement, and then when that didn't work, they tried to block the endorsement for me. So I think the significance, number one, in talking about the candidate who best embodies the interests of middle class and working New Yorkers, I think it was a comparison. And one also has to go back. This wasn't just a group of people sitting in a room making a decision. There were an open forum where the mayor came in first and responded to a number of questions in public in front of about 250 people, and where I did the same thing. And people were able to compare our responses and concerns about middle class and working New Yorkers. And in the end, there was no comparison. That's why the Working Families Party endorsed me. So I think it means it starts to talk about the candidate who is expressing real concerns about middle class and working New Yorkers, as well as the network that the Working Families Party brings to the table. I think it is incredibly helpful.
So politically, how do you see your coalition? For example, do you have to woo black voters en masse from Mayor Bloomberg after they have voted for him in pretty large numbers 2 times?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, if you go back to 2001 and 2005, he got a decent percentage. I think I'm reaching out across the city. Are African-American voters important? Absolutely. But I'm reaching out to neighborhoods across the city of New York. I mean, if you look, yesterday I was out in Flushing in Queens, Chinese-American and Korean communities. A few days before that, Astoria in Queens. Last night in the Bronx at Kingsbridge. I just think there are a number of different communities all across the city of New York.
What do you hear as the biggest complaint, unifying communities against Mayor Bloomberg?
I think for the first thing, the biggest, or not the biggest, but one of the major concerns was clearly the term limit issue and how the mayor, how people felt that their votes were ignored, how the mayor went around them to the city council and changed term limits from 2 terms to 3 terms. People are still angry about that and upset about it. But also, I think that one thing that the biggest concern that you're hearing from people is about jobs and about the economy and how they feel that, you know, as far as whether it's small businesses, whether it is our seniors, whether it's working New Yorkers, they're concerned. They believe that the mayor has focused on just Wall Street and the corporations and wealthy New Yorkers and not on their interests.
Before you go, you released the report detailing the racial disparity in unemployment right now. Are you attending the NAACP convention at all while it's in New York this week?
I've been to a few of the events this week, definitely, and hoping to be there later this evening to hear the president speak.
Are you a member of the NAACP?
Yes, I am.
What does it mean to you?
Well, if you look at what the NAACP has done over decades, it has helped to change the tone in this country. It has provided and has worked hard to provide opportunity to people like me. If it wouldn't have been for the NAACP over the decades, over the 100 years, I don't think I would have been elected controller of the city of New York and been a viable candidate for mayor. So I think the NAACP has helped to change the landscape in this country over a period of 100 years, and I think now they're more viable than ever before. Ben Jealous is a great president and CEO, and it brings a new spirit and a new focus for the future as they look to things like economic empowerment and educational empowerment.
All right. New York City Comptroller William Thompson, likely to be the Democratic nominee to run against Mayor Bloomberg in the fall. Thanks a lot for coming on with us today.
Always good talking to you. Hope to talk to you soon.
You bet. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And we're talking about the NAACP convention with several guests again today. And we will air President Obama's speech to the Centennial Conference with special coverage beginning at 7 o'clock tonight. And we want to hear from you. What does the NAACP mean today as it turns 100 years old? Post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And when we continue in a minute, we'll ask, have we learned anything this week from the Sotomayor hearings? Stay tuned.